And what we're wanting to look at in this account of Jesus feeding the 5,000 is wisdom from Jesus. When you think of wisdom, wisdom only comes from Jesus.
Amen.
And we're going to see several things here that he's teaching not only his disciples, but us as well through this miracle that he performs of feeding so many people. So we're going to read John chapter 6, verse 1 through 13. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. In the Passover, a feast of the Jews was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank you for your word.
Yes.
Lord, we need a message from you tonight.
Yes.
And I pray that you would give us that message. And Lord, I ask that you would help me to do my part. Lord, help me to say what I should and not what I shouldn't, so that your message is delivered to your people. Lord, I pray that you would help me to see what I need. Help me to make change where I should. Lord, I thank you for that.
Yes.
I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Many times, if you look in verse 5, when Jesus would interact with people, he would preach to them about repentance, or sometimes would even call them out for their hypocrisy or their pride. But here, he only shows compassion for their physical need. They were hungry. These people were not from the area. That's why he points out, John does here when he's writing this, that this was the time of the Passover. At the Passover, the Jews would come from all over the place and assemble here in Jerusalem for the Passover. And so there were a lot of out-of-towners. It wasn't like they just came out from their house a mile or two down the road and now they're all over here. That's why it was such a big concern of Jesus's to feed them, because he knew that here at this hour of the day, it wasn't like they could just run up to Walmart and grab something. They were hungry.
Yeah.
So what he did was he met their physical need. Sometimes you and I need to share the gospel with people. That's a good way to shine the light of Jesus. Tell them about their need for salvation, their need to repent. But sometimes you just need to show compassion on somebody who is hurting physically. and help them in the physical need that they have.
Yeah.
That also shines the light of Jesus.
Yes.
In fact, if you'll notice, what it does is it completely replicates what Jesus did right here. So if we're going to be a follower of Jesus and we're going to act like Jesus and be a spitting image of Jesus, sometimes we just need to help somebody carry that heavy box that they're trying to carry.
Yeah.
Or we need to show compassion on the fact that they have pain in their hip. Or they have some other issue, or they have a financial need, and help them in whatever way we can in a physical manner. There's more ways to shine the light of Jesus than just strictly showing them how to be saved from Scripture. Mm. That's what I'm saying.
Amen.
But I also want you to notice here that Jesus involved his disciples in the process of solving the problem. If you look here in verse 5, he said, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" Jesus didn't ask them the question because he didn't know the answer.
Right.
He asked them the question because he wanted to involve them in the process of solving this problem. He asked Philip what to do. You may have all the answers, or maybe you think you do, but it's always good to ask others for their input. You'll be surprised at the solutions that they may offer. I was at Camp Tracy years ago, and how many of you ever tried to pull 5-gallon buckets apart that have been stuck together for a long time, maybe even in the rain, and you struggled with it?
Yes. Right.
And you went and got you a hammer,
mm-hmm.
right? Or you got somebody else to hold one, and you pulled on the other one until something happened and somebody hit the ground, and they're still stuck together,
yep.
right?
Yeah.
Well, I've struggled with it myself for many years. And this 14-year-old boy walks over, he says, "Brother Bruce, you want me to help you with that?" I wanted to take him to the office and paddle him just for that one statement right there. But I bit my pride and I said, "How are you going to get them apart?" He said, "Watch me." And we were right there in the shop. He takes a little screwdriver and he pokes a hole in the bottom of one of the buckets. He takes the air hose with the air nozzle on it and sticks it on that hole, hit the button, and the buckets just blew apart. I thought, why didn't I think of that? That was intelligent.
But he taught you something.
He did. He did. And for years, ever since then, if I need to get buckets apart and they don't need to hold water, poke a hole in the bottom, hit it with the air hose, poof, they just bust right apart. I had another 14-year-old boy helping me do tree work. This was only maybe 10 years ago. And we put this steel cable underneath the load with a strap at the front end, and we tie it off to drag the load off. It makes it easy to unload the entire load of debris on the trailer, right? But the steel cable's down the center of the floor. And we get in the trailer and we cut the debris, the limbs down to make it settle so that we can put more on the trailer. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right. Invariably, as we're doing that, sometimes we'll hit that steel cable with the chainsaw and don't know it until it's time to drag the load off. And we drag part of the cable off and the load stays on the trailer. And we see this frayed end of the cable, right? So this 14-year-old boy, he says, "Brother Bruce, why don't you just shove that cable over to the corner of the trailer and it probably won't get hit over there." Okay. To this day, that was 10 years ago, we haven't cut a cable again. All I'm saying is sometimes we just need to involve other people. Yeah. We don't have all the answers.
Amen.
Jesus did.
Yes.
And does.
Yes.
But he still involved other people.
Yes, amen.
In finding the solution to this problem. Don't be too proud to ask for some help. Mm-hmm. Verse 7. The Bible says, Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. His solution wasn't even going to come close to solving the problem. But in verse 8, the Bible says, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? Andrew, he also found a small solution. In fact, it paled in size of the problem. 5 little pieces of bread, 2 small fishes, and we're looking at thousands of people. But at least he was trying to help.
Amen.
Jesus, he could have just cut to the chase, spoke the word, and thousands of ravens would have swooped down with food sufficient to feed everybody, if that's what he chose to do.
Yeah.
But there was a lesson for the disciples to learn here. And the lesson was that only Jesus offers the kind of help that we need. Only Jesus offers the kind of help that we need. We can't do it without him. You and I need to learn this lesson. Just because you didn't ask God to protect you out on the road yesterday doesn't mean that he didn't.
Right.
He did. Mm-hmm. Just because you didn't ask God for wisdom and direction to make wise choices today doesn't mean that he didn't. We begin to think sometimes that we have it all together. We know what we're doing, and we forget that we need God's protection, his providence, his wisdom, his prudence. The truth is, we need him every minute of the day.
Amen.
If it wasn't for God, our heart would stop beating.
That's right.
If it wasn't for God, we'd just kill over right here. God gives us the insight to do what we do that we look back on and are fluffed up in our minds about how good of a job we did. When all along, God's just helping us along.
Yes.
I think the disciples needed to learn this. Philip's solution was, well, we could take what little bit of money we got and go buy some bread, but I don't know. I don't think that's going to help here. Andrew had a small solution, but that was even smaller than Philip's. So Jesus was fixing to show them they need him.
Yes.
Jesus wanted his disciples to try to solve this problem so that they could come to the realization that they couldn't. I don't know what kind of problem you're facing, but it may be that God's wanting you to see something here.
That's good.
You can't solve the problem.
That's right.
He has to. He wants your involvement.
That's right.
In other words, he don't want you to just sit on the couch, cross your legs and say, all right, God, send the money. But he wants us to trust him.
Amen.
But about Andrew, not much is said about him. Simon Peter's brother. That's how he's referred to almost every time he's mentioned in the Bible. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Nobody knows who Andrew is until they clarify that by saying Simon Peter's brother. We all know who Simon Peter is, right?
Yes, sir.
He stands out because of his personality. Peter was the only one of all mankind to ever walk on water other than Jesus. Peter's the one who pioneered the early New Testament church. Peter's the one who preached to thousands of people and saw thousands of people saved because of it. But it was Andrew that brought Peter to Jesus. Here in John chapter 6, it was Andrew that brought the meal to Jesus that he took and turned it into enough to feed thousands of people. Andrew. Andrew was a behind the scenes type of a guy. Mm-hmm. Don't put me in front. Mm-hmm. I ain't speaking. I ain't singing. I'll take care of cleaning that up boat over there. I'll bring this stuff, but don't put me in front of anybody. Mm. But Andrew did his part. He did what he could. You might not ever speak before large crowds of people or lead hundreds of people to Jesus. And that's okay. That may not be what he made you for. But he has given you some gifts and talents. Use them. You may not can sing, and that's all right. Everybody isn't supposed to be able to sing. You may not can preach. That's fine. But God has given you a gift, a talent.
Amen.
Use it. You may have heard this saying before. It goes well here. Do what you can with what you have where you're at. Do your part. That's what Andrew did.
That's right.
Be thankful for your gift. Don't envy others because they have the gift you want. Mm. They didn't ask for that gift. They didn't even create it. God gave it to them. That's His business. If He wanted you to have that gift, He would have given you that gift. Be thankful for your gift. And use it for His honor and glory. Then look here in verse 10. And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Jesus delegated responsibility to His disciples.
Yeah.
He could have told the group of people to sit down Himself. He was very good at speaking. In fact, He was very good at speaking to large crowds. He did it all the time. He knew exactly what to do. But He didn't do that here. He delegated it to His disciples. Why? Because He wanted them to be part of this miraculous solution.
Amen.
Many of you are leaders to one degree or another, whether you realize it or not.
Yeah.
Involve people. The truth is, you can't do it all yourself anyway. And they need to be involved, especially in the work of the Lord. Give them some responsibility. Ask them to do something. The truth is, we could use their help.
Amen.
I think that if Jesus would have had to feed all those people, He could have done it. It would have been a lot later when everybody got their portion. Yeah, He needed those disciples'
Amen.
Help. And they needed to help.
Yes.
They needed to see what was going on right before their eyes.
Mm.
And that's part of the reason Jesus did that.
Yeah, that's good.
Verse number 12. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost.
Mm.
Jesus taught one more thing right here. Don't waste. He told them to gather up the fragments. Fragments are small pieces or parts. Things or portions that in and of themselves seem insignificant, not important, or worth anything. But when they gathered it all together, there was 12 basketfuls.
Amen.
Don't miss this. It may seem insignificant for you to throw away a third of the food on your plate. But there's people that would kill to get that.
Yeah.
That you and I throw away.
Right.
It may seem unimportant to you to spend $3 or $4 on something at the store, chips or drink or something else, once or twice a day. But when you add that up, it will be $120 to $200 in a month. That's not insignificant. Jesus doesn't want us to waste anything. Remember, we're stewards. We're stewards of everything.
Yes, sir.
Even this body ain't mine.
Right.
This is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The money that I carry in my wallet, I think it's mine, but it ain't mine.
Right.
It's God's. Every dollar that passes through my hand is His. Every dollar that I squander is a waste.
Mm.
Even though it's only $1 or 50 cents. It's a waste. God don't want us to waste. I think that's one of the things He was trying to teach His disciples right here.
Amen.
He said that nothing be lost.
Mm.
There's a lot to learn from the teachings of Jesus.
Amen.
The book of John is a favorite for many people.
Amen.
Of all the Gospels. In fact, of all the books of the Bible, for some.
Yeah.
But there's a lot to learn from the teachings of Jesus. He taught His disciples practical lessons.
Amen.
And then He put it into the form of a book and gave it to us so that we can also learn the same valuable lessons. You're not going to learn it if you don't read it.
Amen.
If you don't study it, if you don't memorize some of it, meditate on it, share it with other people. They need it too. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your word. Thank You for what You've shown us here tonight in the book of John. Lord, I thank You for the miracle that You performed then, and I thank You for the miracles that You're still performing today. Lord, help us to do everything that we can to shine bright for You where You've put us in our circle.
Please.
I thank You for that, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand and turn 490.